Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's always a joy to be with you and to open the Word with you and to consider how our lives should respond to the Word of God. And I had a lot of fun studying for this sermon, studying this text. It's a joy to sit under Pastor Rocky's preaching week after week. And really, honestly, last week was pretty important. Or last time you preached was pretty important, which last week, right? Okay. Sorry, getting my weeks mixed up. In understanding this text. And so we really want to respond to what it means to have grace. And this morning we're going to introduce a new element, works, okay? And this is a debate that has raged in the church or in organizations that have called themselves the church since Christ was raised from the dead. Ever since Christ was raised from the dead, this has been a debate that has raged in the church and in those groups that have splintered from the church and called themselves the church. And so this morning we want to be really clear about how we relate to works and why grace is important and how they relate to one another. And so I want to focus on what Paul says about works this morning, because last week we really focused on grace. Okay, so we always focus on grace, right? We never focus on works. We always focus on grace because that is what we are saved by. But this morning we want to know how do we relate to works. And so I have 3 points for you this morning. So if you're taking notes, you can write these down and then listen. And so 3 points this morning before our application. The first point is saved apart from works. Okay? Saved apart from works. The second point this morning is going to be condemned by works. So saved apart from works. Second point is condemned by works. And the third point this morning is saved for good works. So saved apart from works, condemned by works, saved for good works. And we're going to look at this text and see how we relate to work in these three ways, and then we're going to look at some points of application. So the first point this morning, saved apart from works. So our text, it says very clearly, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we see very clearly from the text, and as we remember from last week, as Pastor Rocky taught, what are we saved by? We're saved by the grace of God. We are not saved by our own works. We're not saved by any work that we've done. We're saved apart from works. We're saved by the grace of God. And so it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So Paul also says in Romans 10, verses 5 through 11, I just want to read this because it kind of clarifies his point here in Ephesians. In verse 5, he says, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So it is a matter of understanding it, understanding the gospel, believing the gospel, and trusting. That's what faith is. It's knowing it, so understanding it, believing it, and trusting it. So having a faith that is what you are saved by. That is what faith is. That's a definition from one of my favorite theologians. It's knowledge, belief, and trust. It's what faith is. And grace is unmerited favor. Grace is favor that we do not earn or deserve. So we see in our own text here what Pastor Rocky preached on last week, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us. These are things that you did not go and earn as one who was dead. Okay? The dead man did not get up and go earn righteousness. The dead man did not get up and go earn favor with God. It was a result of the mercy, the riches of God's grace poured out on you, that you receive faith and grace. That is how you have received salvation. It is not your own doing. That's what our text says this morning. It is not your own doing. And literally, this should be translated. So if you're looking at the Greek, it's literally, this is not from you. Grace is not from you. Faith is not from you. So, how many dads this past Christmas woke up and you were just as shocked by what the kids got as they were? Okay, so how many of you, like dads, that was me. So I came home from work one day, there was a bunch of presents under the tree, and I was like, I have no idea what's in these boxes. And then on Christmas morning, the kids open them, they're like, thanks. And I'm like, you're welcome. I'm a part of this gift giving. I didn't know what you were getting, but you're welcome. It's still from me. I didn't expect it. It's still from me. So it's okay. You get by with it, with saying you're welcome because you help pay for the gifts and things like that. But what if the child opens the gift and then the child was like, oh man, this is nice. I did good. I did so good on this gift to myself. Your response as a parent rightfully should be like, this is not from you. This is not something that you went and got for yourself. And that is what faith and grace is in the gospel. It is not something that you went and acquired for yourself. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of work. So not only did you not produce it, but you cannot acquire it. There's nothing you can do to go and get it. It says, and this is not your own doing, this is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's not because you went and purchased it, it's not because you earned it, it's not because you were owed it. As last week, Pastor Rocky was talking about the gift cards that he and Chris earned in their sales for Terminex. It's not something that he goes and gets and says, thank you, because it was a free gift. Rocky earned that gift card through his hard work and his good salesmanship. That's not the gospel. You did not earn the gift. It is a free gift, so that you may not boast. Romans 3:20 says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Your works are nowhere in the picture. By works of the law, no one will be justified. No one will be declared just or righteous. You are saved apart from works, by grace alone, through faith alone. You add nothing to it. Our second point this morning is that not only are you saved apart from works, as in you cannot go and work your way into salvation, but if you are working, you will be condemned by your works. This is vital that we understand this. Not only are you saved apart from works, but you are condemned by your works. Look at our text here in verse 9. It says, so that no one may boast. Now, we have some MMA fans here, and I started watching MMA in what I consider kind of the golden era, which is like post Murder Ring and then pre Conor McGregor. So like, it's people aren't killing each other, but you don't have like the arrogant dude Conor McGregor walking around and being all obnoxious. And so this guy comes on the scene. His name is Anderson the Spider Silva, and he is one of the GOATs. Okay, he's one of the greatest of all time, and he was so arrogant. So arrogant. But that's just UFC, right? So in the pre-fight interviews, it's both fighters be like, oh, I'm going to bash his face in. Oh, it's going to be TKO first round. And they're both saying that. But Anderson Silva's right. He means it. And he knows it's going to happen. Everybody knows it's going to happen. This other guy, what he should be saying is, Anderson Silva's going to destroy me, but I'm going to get a big paycheck. It's going to be fine. And you don't have the right to boast. Anderson Silva has the right to boast. In the gospel, you have no right to boast. You do nothing. You earn nothing. You have acquired and worked for nothing. So that no one may boast. Why? Because, verse 10, we are his workmanship. And this is one of the few instances in which I think the ESV translates it better than the Christian Standard Bible. I'm a Christian Standard Bible fan. Because I think they're just so literal, and I like literal things. But here, the ESV really communicates what is being said by Paul when he says, we are a creation, we are the workmanship, we are a craftsmanship. We are the workmanship of God. Which means, the one who has acquired the right to boast is not us, but God. The one who has earned glory is not us, but God. And there is a clear difference between human narcissism and God demanding glory. The greatest of humans in all of their accomplishments do not earn narcissism. Do not earn selfish pride and arrogance. Those are inherently negative traits. But God demanding glory is not wrong. It's wrong for him to not demand glory. He is not a childish, selfish God who needs attention. He's the sovereign God, speaking the universe into reality and sustaining all things, all of the cosmos, by the might of his will. He's the mighty God who overcame death and hell and sin by the amazing work of the gospel. He's infinitely worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. And it is the most tragic and unrighteous thing in all of reality for him to not receive glory. And he is so righteous and just and holy that he demands glory. And so in his righteousness and justice, he demands glory. And when he pours out his grace and makes you his cosmic trophy of grace, it is a craftsmanship, a workmanship, a thing that brings him glory. It is not a thing that brings you glory. Boasting in yourself and your works, and not in God, means that you have not understood grace. It means that you haven't been given faith. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We are his workmanship. Not only is it not a result of works, but it is so that no one may boast. You are boasting in anything of yourself. It is a dishonesty about the gospel. Do you understand that? If you are boasting in your works, you are lying about the work of Christ on the cross. You added nothing. And to think that you added anything does violence to Scripture and to the gospel. Your works will never be enough to make you righteous before God. I just want to point out some quick verses. This is Galatians. So in Galatians, the church at Galatia, the believers were being led astray by a group of people called the Judaizers who were coming in and saying, yes, Jesus, yes, the gospel, yes, salvation by faith, but also circumcision, and also these feasts, and also these restrictions on diet. So yes, the gospel, yes, grace, yes, faith, but also works. And Paul comes in and says with extremely strong language, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not faith, rather the one who does them shall live by faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we have received the promised Spirit through faith. That's Galatians 3, 10 through 14. You should write that down. Galatians 3, 10 through 14. I'm going to skip down a few verses. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6, Paul says, in even stronger language, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit yourself to a yoke of slavery. That's what works are. If you are working yourself into salvation, you are yoking yourself to slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. That's extreme language. Beloved, know that. This is the Apostle Paul coming to people who say, yes, I believe in salvation by grace through faith, but I'm also going to work myself into that. And Paul says, you are cut off from grace. You are cursed. You stand under the condemnation of the law. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accounts for anything, but only faith working through love. There's only one work that makes you righteous before God. And it is not your work. It is the work of Christ on the cross. That is the only way you will be declared righteous before God. Salvation by works is condemning, because God demands glory, and because there is no amount of work that will save you. Works only condemn you. So you have been saved apart from works, or you will be condemned by works. But our third point this morning is also very important. If you have been saved apart from works, you have also been saved for good works. So this is just crazy, okay? This is just crazy. The guy said, there's nothing you can do to be righteous like my son Jesus. So you just got to believe that his righteousness is enough. And if you believe his righteousness is enough, I'm going to make you like him. I'm going to make all of your works good. So Melissa and I, the Lord has been really kind to us, and we were able to purchase a home, okay? But in reality, we did not purchase a home. We purchased a portion of a home, and the bank owns the majority of the loan, okay? The bank owns most of our house, all right? Eventually, we hope to own most or all of our house. But I didn't buy a home, I bought a portion of a home, and the bank owns the rest. And when I pay off the mortgage and all the interest, I'll officially own the home, and the lender will say, see ya, we're done. No relationship. Okay? Thanks, it's been good. Thanks for all the interest. See ya. Done. There's no relationship. I'm just non-issue. I'm neutral. I don't owe them anything. I'm just no longer a debtor. You're not just a debtor whose debt has been paid in the gospel. You're not just a debtor whose debt has been paid. You're not neutral. You are a debtor whose debt has been paid, and now you stand as a trophy of grace. Look at the verses that Pastor Rocky taught on last week. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And God said, see ya, done. You no longer owe me anything, we're done. I don't need you anymore. Now that you've paid your debts, or now that your debts have been paid by my son, we're done. Clean slate. That's not the reality. The reality is, he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So the gospel is like if the lender, instead of saying, okay, you've paid your debt, see ya, instead, the lender said, oh, actually, we're going to pay the debt for you. And not only are we going to pay the debt for you, but we're going to celebrate our paying your debt by moving you out of this house into the Grand Wailea. Not just a room in the Grand Wailea, the Grand Wailea. You don't have to pool hop at the Grand Wailea anymore. You own it. It's all yours. We are celebrating our generosity by giving you more. And not only are we celebrating our paying off your debt by giving you the Grand Wailea, all of its amenities, all the resources you'll ever need, but we're also giving you the Grand Wailea, all of its amenities, all the resources, and all the resources you'll ever need to increase in wealth and riches. For the rest of your life, you will increase. You will only ever increase. You will never be indebted again. You're not going from bad, from evil, into this immobile, neutral nothing. You are saved into a functioning trophy of grace. You are made into a kingdom-advancing, sin-slaying, Holy Spirit-filled temple of God on earth, sent out with the Great Commission. Amen. Yeah. You were not given grace to sit on a shelf. You were not given grace and left as neutral. You were given grace and activated for good works that have been created in Christ before the foundations of the earth. So the lender, not only do they pay off your debt, not only do they celebrate the paying off of your debt by putting you in the Grand Wailea, but they also give you all the resources to never be indebted again for the rest of your life, and so that you can go forth throughout the world eradicating all debt ever. That is what the church has been called to do. You have been activated for good works that have been created in Christ before the foundations of the earth. What does this say about the righteousness that you've been given? What does it say about the righteousness that you've been given, that you can be taken from the vilest of sinners, who's only ever capable of doing things that are offensive to God? Your righteousness is as a filthy rags. And yet you are activated to go and do good works. You are so this is really important, okay, when we think about Ephesians, when Paul says beforehand, which God created beforehand, what does that point to? In chapter 1, we've already covered this. What else was determined beforehand? Your salvation. It says you were predestined, you were elected before the foundations of the world. God chose you, and he said, I'm going to save that filthy sinner. What else happened? In the foundations of the world, look at those mountains. They're amazing, they're beautiful. God just like clay, just drew them up out of nothing. And those mountains are nothing compared to Mount Everest. and Mount Everest is swallowed up in the Pacific Oceans. Those are the foundations of the world. Before that, you were saved.
Amen.
And before that, God created good works so that you might walk in them. You are a walking Mount Everest. It is miraculous that you are not left in your sin. And it is miraculous that you are not just having your debt paid, but and you're not just left neutral. You are going forth in this world accomplishing Everest-sized feats for the kingdom of God. Because God has created them in you. You know why? Because the righteousness that you have is not your righteousness. It is the righteousness of Christ. It is not a righteousness that you accomplished. It is not a righteousness that you worked for. It is a righteousness that the work of Christ has brought to you. You have been poured out, lavished by the grace of God. You are saved for good works. So, as we are running out of time, I want to rush through some points of application. I want you to write down these groups of people, okay? I'm gonna address six groups of people. Six groups, and these are broad categories, and we're gonna, you know, I think it's just helpful to kind of identify certain groups, and so to understand this text. So let's just, for the sake of this illustration, we know there's a line of grace, right? And past that line of grace, you have grace, you have the righteousness of Christ, you have received faith, you are in Christ. And on the other line of grace, you have not received grace, you're rejecting it. And so before we pass grace, you have two groups of people. You have the hedonist, okay? The hedonist and the legalist. All right? The hedonist is the first group of people that we're going to look at. And the hedonists are going to be what we think of when we think like hip-hop and rock and roll, sex, money, drugs, murder, whatever. Like those who live in and for and of the world. They love the world. They revel in sin. They are, so to be a hedon means to just to without restraint pour yourself into the desires that you have in the flesh. And what that group of people needs to hear this morning is Colossians 3, 5 through 6. It says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming." So, turn on CNN for 3 seconds. You see this. And our response as Christians is to, with all manner of love, all manner of hospitality, all manner of pouring out our own grace, our own love, our own kindness on the world, but with the understanding that these are the things for which the wrath of God is coming. You will not escape the wrath of God if you are following the desires of the flesh. Love the world. Love the sinner. Love all people. Pray for them. Befriend them. Be kind. Pour out a kindness that they've never experienced as of the, in the world. But do not deny them the kindness of this warning. It is on behalf of these things that the wrath of God is coming. And so, for our understanding of our text this morning, the hedonist is one who is saying, I don't want to work, no works. No grace. I don't want your grace. Reject it. I don't want your works. Not even going to try. The legalist rejects grace, but says, I will accomplish my own righteousness. And we see this in a lot of ways. You turn on CNN for 3 seconds, or a really good one to find legalism is Fox News. You want to see some legalism, turn on Fox News, man. Don't turn on Fox News. Don't do that. You'll find a different news source. You will see people working for their own righteousness. You will see people who say, I reject grace. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it on my own. This would include any religious organization, any religion, anyone that calls himself a Christian, but says also works. And you need to know, you need to be aware that there are many, many who would claim Christ, yet fall under the condemnation that Paul mentions in Galatians. You are cut off from Christ. If you accept circumcision, if you accept these feasts, if you accept these works, you are cut off from Christ. You are not under grace. You have been cut off from the grace of Christ. And there are denominations and religious organizations that would claim Christ and yet require works. Require that you take the Lord's Supper. Require that you be baptized. Require that you, for salvation, these things are necessary. And that's why we seek to be so clear when we talk about baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are good works that you have been created for. Those are not works that you will be saved by. The legalist needs to hear Romans 2:1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you, the judge, practice the very same things. And you do no kindness to your friends who are legalists by not giving them this warning. Okay, so let's cross that line of grace. These next four groups of individuals are those who have received the grace of Christ, those who have believed and placed their faith in Jesus Christ and are declared righteous before God. Okay? But we are prone to so many struggles. And some of the struggles are just in thinking. How do we think appropriately about faith and works? And so I just want to address these four groups, and you're probably going to find yourself in one of these groups. And some of you, I know I find myself oscillating from one group to the next. Okay? So the first group that I want to address this morning is the Christian who's struggling to overcome worldliness, who is prone to apathy. Okay? The Christian who is struggling to overcome worldliness, who struggles with sin consistently, and is prone to apathy. So apathy is just like you don't feel sorrow over your sin all the time. You really struggle to feel like you should repent. You struggle putting it to death. And it's really important that we're clear. A text for you to understand is, and it's important that you write this down, no matter what group you're in. It's important that you write these texts down because you need to equip yourselves to go to the other members of this church and encourage them and bring them. While they're in that group, you can go to that group and you can say, hey, let's, okay. So this text is really important, okay, for you to either equip yourself as you are dealing with this or to equip yourself to help others as they struggle with this. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. If you are not walking in the works that were made for you before the foundation of the world, what else is it calling the question? What else was created before the foundation of the world? Election. Your election. So if you are walking in sin, and your life is one that is identified by sin, you should be concerned. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so, hear this. Christian, you who are covered by the blood of Christ, you who have received the grace of Christ, if you are in this category, what you need to hear is, we want to see you walking like Jesus. And we want to come alongside you to help you fight sin. We want to hold you accountable. We want to confront sin. That's the normal Christian life. Okay? So I'm not saying, hey, if you're in this camp, there's no hope for you. You're not a Christian. What I'm saying is, let's deal with this. Don't let this sit. Don't let this be a secret. Don't let this go under the radar. Let's expose this. Let's deal with this. Let's fight sin together. Let's walk like Jesus together. By the power of the Spirit, you can walk in the good works which were created beforehand. You're not creating these works. They were created for you to walk in them. Let's do it. Second group of people this morning would be the Christian struggling to overcome worldliness. So same issues, struggling to overcome worldliness, but instead of being prone to apathy, you're prone to despair. For the Christian struggling to overcome worldliness, prone to despair, a good verse for you to equip yourself with, and church, a good verse for you to equip yourself with to go to this Christian who's struggling with sin and prone to despair is 1 John 2, 1 through 3. So we're backing up a few verses from the text that we just equipped ourselves with. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So the goal, church, hear this, the goal is so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins. And not of ours only, but the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. If anyone does sin, parakletos ekomen, it means we have an advocate. We have the legal advocate on our behalf before God who stands in our defense and declares us righteous like Him. You are struggling with sin. Know that I am preaching to you. I am reading you this text so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, you have an advocate. You have an advocate. Do not despair. You have an advocate. You have one who stands in your defense. You have one who declares you righteous. Do not despair. Fight sin in joy, in great confidence that Christ is a redeeming Savior. Okay, so the fifth group this morning is we're going to shift, right? So this is the Christian. We're shifting from those who struggle with sin to those who struggle to overcome legalism and are prone to despair. So the first group that we're going to, this is the fifth group, but the first group on this side of our shift is the Christian struggling to overcome legalism and you're prone to despair. I just want you to see this, the glory in our text this morning. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship. You are the craftsmanship of God, okay? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You were crafted as a trophy of grace. And the good works that you long for, the good works that you just desperately want to depend on, they're not yours. They're not your good works. Just give it up. There's nothing in and of you that is good before God. They are not your works to go and accomplish. They are God's works that have been established like the West Valley Mountains for you to walk in. Do not think you will become more righteous because of your victory over some sin. or because you subject yourself to some asceticism or to some restriction. Don't deny yourself the joys of the world because you think you owe God your works. You owe God nothing. Christ has paid the debt. God has established the work. You just walk in them by faith. Do not despair. And do not depend on your own righteousness. Give it up. Give it up. I am unrighteous. I am unrighteous. I am an unworthy sinner, declared righteous because of the work of Christ. And I have these good works that God has accomplished before the foundation of the world. I had nothing to do with them. I just walk in them. Because I have joy in Christ. Hear this. If you are a legalist who is prone to despair, you will not find your good works. You will not walk in the good works that God established beforehand because you can only walk in them as you have joy in Christ. And trying to find your own righteousness in legalism and in your own righteousness will kill your joy. The sixth group this morning is the Christian. So you're covered by grace, you're in grace, you believe by faith, but you're a Christian struggling to overcome legalism and you're prone to pride. And you just need to hear this word. You just need to hear this word over and over and over again. Ephesians 2:8, our verse this morning. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And you need to remember that if you are boasting, if you are prideful about how good you are lying about the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
You are denying the goodness of Christ. This is given to you so that you may not boast.
Amen.
But so that you declare the grace of God. You know who, like, the least effective evangelist is? This person. The person who feels their own righteousness, who feels accomplished, and they're really excited about their own accomplishments. That's bad evangelism. Because it's not the gospel. If you go and you proclaim any righteousness other than Christ, it's not the gospel. And you need to hear. It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is a gift of grace. It is a gift from God. By grace you have been saved through faith. Not from you. Not of your own doing. So equip yourselves with these works. So like I said, there's sometimes it's hard to know where do I fall on this spectrum. So especially like when it comes to particular actions, okay? So I get a lot of questions like, is it okay to drink? Is it okay to listen to rock and roll? Is it okay to listen to hip hop? Is it okay to like whatever? Is it okay to watch this show on Netflix? And I don't know, am I free to do this or is it sinful? It's a question that comes up. Am I fighting sin or am I putting away temptation or am I being legalistic? How should I feel about this particular sin and what it means for my spiritual state? If you fall to sin, what does this sin mean? Am I not a Christian? Am I not covered by grace? Why am I so apathetic towards God's word? Why do I not want to pray? Why am I so apathetic towards this sin? Why do I continue to struggle? Am I even saved? These are questions that come up. And it come up because we find ourselves in these categories. Somewhere in these categories. And if you're like me, you're oscillating from like one to the next. How do I know? I don't know. I guess you just got to go home and figure it out for yourself. If only there were an organization that you could be a part of that could help you think through these things. If only there were a group of people who had the same Holy Spirit and the same works created before the foundation of the world so that you might walk in them to help you in wisdom think through the realities that you're struggling with, the sins that you're tempted by, the thoughts that you're having. Fortunately, there's this organization. It's called the Church of Christ. It's called the church. The redeemed ones. Those who have been saved by the grace of God. They are around you. And they are equipped. Listen to me. They are equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit and the same good works declared before the foundation of the world that you might walk in them. So are you struggling to overcome sin? Or to even want to overcome sin? You have brothers and sisters in Christ who have been equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit with the good works which God created before the foundation of the world to step into your life and say, brother, sister, this sin will destroy you. Repent. I will help you. I will hold you accountable. I will fast and pray with you. We will overcome this together in Christ. Are you struggling with whether or not you should quit Facebook or Netflix or whatever? You have brothers and sisters in Christ who have been equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit with the good works which God created before the foundations of the world to step into your life and ask critical, clarifying questions. Does Netflix tempt you to watch things that compromise your purity? Does Facebook cause you to despair over the state of our world? Does social media steal time away from prayer and scripture? Then no, it's not legalistic to delete that app. That's a wisdom point that your brothers have to offer you. Or, hey, you know what? It doesn't seem to be causing you sin. Let's binge watch The Mandalorian. It's awesome. Let's go do it. It's not causing you to sin. In wisdom and in freedom in Christ, we can go and do that. Mandalorian is a good show. Baby Yoda, right? Are you in despair? And I know that this is a lot of you. Are you in despair over how weak you are? Do you struggle to believe that you are even a Christian? Because of how little growth you've seen. I'm such a bad mom. I'm such a bad wife. I'm such a poor leader as a husband and father. I'm so afraid in evangelism. I'm so defeated by my life. You have brothers and sisters, beloved, in Christ, who have been equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit with the good works which God created before the foundations of the world to step into your life and say, I see the righteousness of Christ in you. I see how miraculous and Spirit-empowered the good works that you do are. I see how gracious you are with your kids. I see how much you've grown in your speech towards your husband. I see how you labor to provide for your family. I see how you pray for your lost friends and family. I see how the gift of God is the grace in your life. I see it. I see it. Be encouraged. Have joy. Walk in victory. Press on. I will pray for you. Lean into this community and do not rely on your own strength or wisdom as you think through how am I struggling applying grace and faith to my life? How am I struggling with good works? Lean into this community. Lean into one another and depend on one another for wisdom and clarity. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask, Father, that you would help us as we take the Lord's Supper. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.